again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Beer Caller Podcast for the last day of 2019. It's over. It's over, ladies and gentlemen. Our long national nightmare is over. 2019 is in the books, or will be in the books when you wake up with a hangover in the morning, if you do things right. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Thank you for listening, telling a friend, pushing play, downloading, spreading the word, forcing family members to subscribe to the podcast, and all those good things. Thank you for the year. Thank you for 2019. I really do appreciate it. We're going to do a little bit of a different show since it is a holiday, and Quinn is currently tearing up my office. She's knocking over an Afghan holder. You hurt yourself, you're going to have nobody but yourself to blame. You hurt me, and I'm going to blame you. we're going to count down 10 of the most ridiculous things said in the political world this year. Not exclusively in media, not exclusively from politicians, but exclusively about politics and or by my daughter. Hey, Quinn, come here. Come here, Quinn. Come here. Come here. Say Happy New Year.
Happy Harry.
Say Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy Heaney.
All right. Well, Happy Heaney. Or whatever she said. She meant Happy New Year. And there you go. That's a good way to cap off 2019, I think. Having her singing in the background as we do this. No, seriously, though, it has been a great year, and I appreciate all of you. I appreciate our sponsors. They're only advertising in this show. I can't clap my hands. Clap my hands. They only advertise on this show because you guys listen and because you guys spread the word. So that I get a small taste of that it means that I'm eternally in your debt. So thank you for that, and thanks for buying my book and all of that. Oh, no.
It's broken.
I don't think it's broken. I just don't think you know how to use it. All right, Quinny, let me do this. yes, she says Happy New Year. Everybody says Happy New Year. The cats even like growled a little bit, Happy New Year. So we're going to get into it. It's going to be a shorter than usual show because, well, it's the end of the year, and we're just going to do, and cutting in audio and cutting up audio takes forever. So as long, even though this show will be shorter, it took a hell of a lot longer than usual to put together because it's not going to be me rambling, although it'll probably end up being an hour because I'll start rambling. Anyway, that's just how we roll here at the Daily Caller Podcast. Thanks to everybody who supported the show and supports the show through Patreon, patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. Thank you guys for that as well. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. And I look forward to more with less singing in the background, but more podcasts in the year to come. It would be nice if we got some sane times, but that doesn't seem likely. So we'll go through the crazy together, and I appreciate that, and keep spreading the word. And you can always email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. Any compliments, complaints, you want to complain about my daughter. Let's see if we can get an exclusive interview with Quinn. Come here, Quinn. Come here. If you're going to be... Come here.
Okay.
Did you have fun this year?
Fun year, Gandhi's care enough.
You aren't kidding. You said a mouthful there. Did you have a good Christmas?
Good Christmas. Good Christmas. Pretty good.
Say thanks for listening. Say thanks for listening.
I gotta go dance.
All right. Well, you heard it there. She's got to go dance. And we got to pay the bills. So let's get a word from our awesome sponsor. Joining me on the phone right now is the webmaster of GetTheTea.com, the head honcho of Life Change Tea, Ronnie McMullen. Welcome to the program, Ronnie.
How you doing, Derek?
I'm doing great, and it's in no small part thanks to your product. Tell me and tell everybody the benefits that they're missing out on by not choosing to use your product.
Life Change Tea is like a digestive aid. Now, people might think, oh, my digestion's great, but usually that's not a truth. All disease, according to Socrates, started in the gut. So when you have a digestive healthy tract, intestinal tract that's doing very well, then you start doing very well. People don't even know that in the cold and flu season, which is we're approaching that quickly, that when you have a cold or flu, your digestion slows way down and it actually can start making you constipated. So with that, get the tea. Our Super Strength Tea does a wonderful job in helping things move a little better. In fact, we have the tagline, the tea that makes you go. And there's two facets to that. One, obviously, it will help you with bathroom visits. But the other thing is it will actually give you energy. So it makes you go with giving you lots of energy. And the tea tastes really great. So it's really important to do this on an ongoing basis, not just, you know, one time, you know, get a car wash and we're good to go, but all the time. So it's, I take it every day, have for years and years, and thank God for that.
I think people need to realize, Ronnie, that health is not just about what you put into your body, but making sure your body has the ability to absorb the good things out of that. And that's where Life Change Tea comes in. It helps with all of that. The website is getthetea.com. The man is Ronnie McMullen. Ronnie, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And don't forget to enter the promo code Derek in the coupon code at checkout, and you get 10% off your whole order. You can't beat that deal. Promo code Derek, 10% off. All righty, we do love Life Change Tea, and we do love the CBD oil from AncientLifeOil.com. They have been great to us. We appreciate the hell out of them. And yes, the most frequent question I get, do you really use this stuff? Yes, I do. Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. I just had a friend and her boyfriend, who's actually one of the few listeners of the show that I know personally over the, Saturday for Christmas and or for dinner, it wasn't Christmas, and playing some games and stuff. And she asked, you use this stuff? Yes, I do. And I sold her on it. So it's the honest truth. Everything I tell you here is the truth. And it is like crazy stories from my life. Except for Quinn, that's actually an actor that I hired to play my daughter throughout the year. I probably should have come clean about that earlier. But other than that, no, I'm just kidding. I seriously do. Okay, let's get into this stuff before I ramble on for too damn long. Because I know you guys want to get home. You want to do whatever it is you do on New Year's Eve. I will be hopefully doing not much of anything. That's my ultimate goal. Even though I have to write a column tomorrow, I can do that during the day. And then I can kind of have an evening where I don't have to do anything for once. Maybe. We'll see. Although I do have to record a podcast for New Year's Day, but I'm going to do a best of, and I still have to record the... God, you know what? My life sucks. Don't ever be me. Don't grow up to be me. All right. Let's get into the audio of the year. It's not the audio of the year. There's just so damn much audio. You wouldn't believe how much audio I have stored on this little MacBook. It is just chock full of garbage liberals saying garbage things, and all of it deserves mockery. But I picked 10 examples that I saw floating around on social media that I thought, or that I stuck in my craw, that stuck in my mind, and I just want to play them for you and do a little bit of commentary on them. The first one comes from Chuck Todd, the ginger avenger of the left. He is an activist. He swears to God he's not an activist, but then he doesn't believe in God, and secondly, or at least doesn't seem to, because he likes to mock religion, which is what this audio is about, and he is also a left-wing activist. He is an advocate. He is a fraud. I don't care that he's a liberal. I care that he pretends he's not. That's what bothers me. That's what bothers me about all the journalists out there. I find most people in media to be annoying and personally hypocritical and phony. You know, I know a lot of them, and most of them are not, or I've met a lot of them, hung out with a lot of them, been at parties with a lot of them, and had conversations and know people who know them and been to their houses and whatnot. And they are, by and large, I would say 97.3% frauds. They just are. I don't get it. I don't understand why you put on a front, why you pretend to be something you're not, because then you have to remember who you pretended to be and shift between that and who you really are should somebody come up to you and recognize you. It's much easier to just be yourself all the time. It's not like Chuck Todd could ruin his ratings any further. He's ruined the franchise of Meet the Press. It's not like he can make it any worse. If they're watching with Chuck Todd as the host, they would watch with any. They might be dead in front of their TV, to be perfectly honest with you, if you're watching with Chuck Todd as the host. So I'm not sure what he's afraid of, but he pretends, oh, no, I'm a serious journalist. Meanwhile, he attacks people of faith. On just this, we're starting with the newest first, although we're going in no particular order. This is Chuck Todd from just this past Sunday, using his platform as a serious journalist to attack Donald Trump and Donald Trump supporters. Why? Because he's a pile of human garbage. He uses a letter to the editor to do it. See, Chuck is typical of the left. And while they run around and say, oh, Donald Trump is tearing the nation apart. Oh, Donald Trump is so divisive. Donald Trump is this. Donald Trump is that. That's exactly what they are. Listen to what Chuck Todd does here and pay attention to how he frames this and see if you would come away. You hear him read this letter, and does it seem like this letter is new? It's fresh. It's hot off the presses. This is something the world must know. No. It's really not. I'll explain to you why it's not after you listen to this blithering, ginger, soulless mutant try and attack people, well, actually succeed in attacking people of faith.
I want to read you guys a letter to the editor that we found in the Lexington Herald Leader. It was a fascinating attempt at trying to explain why some people support President Trump. Here's what he says. Why do good people support Trump? It's because people have been trained from childhood to believe in fairy tales. This set their minds up to accept things that make them feel good. The more fairy tales and lies he tells, the better they feel. Show me a person who believes in Noah's Ark, and I will show you a Trump voter. Look, this gets at something, Dean, that my executive producer likes to say is, hey, voters want to be lied to sometimes. They don't always love being told hard truths.
Well, you know, those Trump voters, they like to be lied to, you know, and as my executive producer says all the time, Republicans just love being lied to. They love it. That's it. Yeah. If they did, they would watch NBC News, Chuck. If voters really loved being lied to, they'd watch Meet the Press, Chuck. Now, what's funny about this is there's a couple of things. He is using this as a proxy. He wouldn't have brought this up if he didn't agree with it. A letter to the editor is as significant as a comment on a Facebook post by somebody you never heard of on a topic you didn't care about. I mean, you can't get any less relevant in the realm of news than a letter to the editor. Honestly, who the hell writes letters to the editor anymore? But the letter to the editor is steaming with vitriol about conservatives, about religious conservatives in particular. That's why it was read. Chuck wants to say these things, but he thinks he probably shouldn't. Or his producer said, no, don't do. Look, we'll find a perfect vehicle. We'll scour the countryside to find something that you can read, say it from a newspaper or something, and then you can spew your bile and pretend still to be a real live journalist. Well, that's what they did. Because this letter that he read from the Lexington Herald Leader was from January of 2019, a year ago. This letter to the editor is a year old. News stories don't have that kind of shelf life, but because Chuck Todd liked the sentiment in it, it suddenly became newsworthy and worth quoting on Meet the Press 11 months later. A letter to the editor. What's funny is earlier in the year, Chuck Todd, who decides to attack all people of faith, for, oh my God, the fairy tale of Noah's Ark, blah, 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 blah. Chuck Todd and his liberal buddies in the news media earlier or middle of last year got very upset and tried to accuse Donald Trump of being anti-Semitic. One of the many times they had tried to accuse Donald Trump of being anti-Semitic. And what was Donald Trump's anti-Semitic insult or term that he called Chuck Todd, who's apparently Jewish? Sleepy-eyed. Sleepy eyes. That's right. Washington Post, April 23rd, 2018. I'm looking at it right now. Is it anti-Semitic for President Trump to call Chuck Todd sleepy eyes? What?
Yes, President Trump, ever in favor of a memorable moniker for his lion or crooked or little targets of ire, has a puzzling nickname for host of NBC's Meet the Press, Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. Trump is referring to Todd's eyes on Twitter since 2012. Most recently, he used the phrase Sunday, blah, 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 blah. Chuck Todd does look a little stoned. That's where it comes from. But to Julie Zausmer of the Washington Post, she just can't figure out where it comes from. It must be anti-Semitic somehow. And then she goes through twisted logic into how it's anti-Semitic. And this sort of became a thing for a little while in 2018. Oh, is he attacking Chuck Todd with anti-Semitic tropes? I don't know if apparently maybe somewhere. I mean, you really have to be a sick human being to and have a fetish for finding anti-Semitic nicknames to dig through and find somebody making a vague reference to Sleepy-Eyed and somehow tie that into these people are sick. These people are just sick. But that's how the left works. That's how the left works. Chuck Todd will wrap himself in his Jewish heritage. I don't think he's a very practicing Jew if he's sitting there mocking the Bible and calling it fairy tales. But he'll wrap himself in that when it's convenient, just like Nancy Pelosi will. Oh, my Catholic faith commands everything I do. I pray for the president constantly. By the way, do you want an abortion? I want to pay for your abortion. I notice that your child is born, but it's only like two. So if you still want to abort it, I'm cool with that. My Catholic faith, blah, 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 blah. These people are sick. There's something fundamentally wrong with them on many, many levels. Speaking of sick and fundamentally wrong with them on many, many levels, let's go to the next clip. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yes, yes, yes. Alexandria, like fine Corinthian leather, AOC, wrapped herself around every news story this year. What a horrible person. I know I did the whole show about her yesterday in her year, but I didn't get the chance to play this clip. The person that the left is touting as a possible presidential candidate in the near future, as soon as she's old enough. The founding fathers should have put an IQ test rather than an age limit. Then we wouldn't have to deal with this. But listen to her talk about American history, I guess you could say, sort of.
When our party was boldest, the time of the New Deal, the Great Society, the Civil Rights Act, and so on, we had and carried supermajorities in the House, in the Senate. We carried the presidency. They had to amend the Constitution of the United States to make sure Roosevelt did not get reelected.
They had to amend, though we were so bold and so wildly popular while we were raping the Constitution that we they had to amend the Constitution to get rid of FDR to make sure FDR didn't win again. The only problem is that Franklin Delano Roosevelt died on April 12th, 1945, and the 22nd Amendment to the Constitution was approved by Congress on March 24th, 1947, and was ultimately ratified. The process of ratification was finished on February 27th, 1951. For those of you playing the home game, 1945 happened long before both of those events. So, yeah, she want to figure that one out? I don't know. She's not a very bright person. FDR, of course, died in office shortly after his fourth term started. Harry Truman then took over and served out the rest of it and then won his own term in 1948. But I don't understand. I mean, this was said on MSNBC, I believe. Nobody jumped in and said, hey, you know, that's not right at all. That's not right. That's FDR was not forced into retirement because of the 22nd Amendment to the Constitution, you idiot. You would think somebody would at least pull her aside and say these sorts of things. Say, hey, look, I'm on board with the socialism crap, but you're making us all look freaking stupid when you open your mouth. How about you crack a book? How about you limit your examples to things you actually know? Or how about we sue every teacher you ever had because they misinformed you, they miseducated you? How about that? Because somewhere in your brain, either you didn't get the information in there, or it's all jumbled up, or somebody lied to you through your whole life. Because the stuff you spew is stupid, and it makes us all look bad. You would think somebody would do that, but they don't. They don't. She is their God queen, and she will one day be their nominee for president, and we are completely screwed if that happens. And one of the ways that she could actually become president of the United States is if our next entrant gets their way. Earlier this year, probably 6 months ago, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi advocated, came out for, in support of, whatever you want to say, lowering the voting age to 16. I'm not kidding. She just raised the age to buy tobacco to 21. But somehow, you're not smart enough to buy a cigarette or choose to buy a cigarette or not to buy a cigarette. No, no, no. You're dumb. You're dumb until you're 21. But you should be able to have a say over our country at age 16.
I myself, personally, I'm not speaking for my caucus. I myself have always been for lowering the voting age to 16. I think it's really important to capture kids when they're in high school, when they're interested in all of this, when they're learning about government, to be able to vote.
Yeah, you don't want people who know about government to vote. You don't want people who fund government to vote. You want people learning about government to vote. Why? Because they're easy to manipulate. They're stupid. They're young and dumb. And why not do it? Come on, let's get these kids. Hook them with this tobacco company model. Hook them while they're young. They're indoctrinating them in public high schools. Why not take full advantage of that? There's a possibility that by the time they reach 18, they might have taken a look at one of their pay stubs and said, hey, where the hell did all that money go? What's going on here? And then learn about government waste and fraud and all. Maybe they would have read the Constitution by the time they're 18 years old and understood a little bit of it. And then they will never vote for a Democrat. So they've got to get them while they're young. Sick people. They're twisted people. These people are sinister. They really, truly are sinister. Speaking of sinister, our next entrant, and you know what I've decided to do? I'm going to switch this and just, instead of random, since these are all people who are just horrible douchebags, and I thought about doing this earlier, but then I forgot about it. These are the nominees for Douchebag of the Year, the Douchebag Quote of the Year. We'll just call it Douchebag of the Year. Our next Douchebag of the Year nominee is James Comey. Listen to James Comey, the most honorable man on the face of the earth. Just ask him. Talking about when spying isn't spying, he doesn't know what spying is, I don't know what's going on. The word spying, why, I've never heard that. Spy? Spy, that's a big word. He comes across as Bill Clinton here, arguing over what the word is, and whether or not he was ever alone with Monica Lewinsky, because while Monica was doing her business, there were other people on the planet, and therefore they were never technically alone. It wasn't a post-apocalyptic world where they were the last two people on Earth. That's the kind of answer that James Comey gives when asked whether or not the FBI was spying on the Trump campaign.
With respect to Barr's comments, I really don't know what he's talking about when he talks about spying on the campaign. It's concerning because the FBI and the Department of Justice conduct court-ordered electronic surveillance. I have never thought of that as spying.
I have never thought of that as spying. What I love about this clip isn't just his verbal gymnastics there. Well, I never thought of that as spying. I've never looked the word up, but whatever. But I love how he says we were doing court-ordered surveillance, electronic surveillance. Court-ordered. Well, gee, Jimmy. Did the court just call you up one day and say, hey, Jimmy, I want you and the guys at the FBI to start monitoring, court-ordered surveillance on Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, and anybody else associated with the Trump campaign you so feel like? Did, you know, was he woken up in the middle of the night by an emergency phone call from the FISA court? Or did his agents go to the FISA court with fraudulent information in order to be able to get court permission to give it the stamp of approval of the court to be able to spy on or engage in electronic surveillance of the Trump campaign and human surveillance by sending in spies and things like that. Yeah, I don't think that the phone rang at the Comey estate. And he went, "Who is this?" "Yes, Your Honor. What you want me to spy on? What you want me to do? What? Okay. Well, if you insist that we spy on the Trump campaign, well, then we really have no choice and shall forever do your bidding, Your Honor." That ain't how it worked, Jimmy. It wasn't court-ordered. It was court-approved. The court can order you to wear an ankle bracelet if you're on parole. You know, the court can order you to do all sorts of things. But you kind of have to go to court, or somebody has to go to court and ask the court to do those things. The court doesn't take a proactive step and posture in much of anything. So to pretend that it is somehow outside of you is to help perpetuate an even larger fraud. You freaking fraud. You can see now why he is one of the coveted winners of a nomination of douchebag of the year. Our next entrant is a strong contender as well. He, every once in a while, a Democrat lets the truth accidentally slip through, and this was the case with Congressman Al Green. It is one of the, it should be one of the quotes of the year, but it won't be because the people who do the of the year stuff are all liberal journalists, so they will forget this, they will pretend it didn't happen, and they'll obsess on some random Trump tweet and pretend that it is some gigantic affront to liberty. This is Congressman Al Green admitting the Democrats' 2020 strategy.
And there's a sharp partisan divide, as we all know, with only 4% of Republicans favoring impeachment. Congressman, are you concerned that impeachment talk may actually help the president's reelection?
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach him, he will get reelected, said Foghorn Leghorn. I think I declare that I think that he might get reelected if we do not impeach him. Therefore, Constitution be damned, we're going to make up some charges and we're just going to impeach this man. That's all we got to do, you know. Look at our field. Look at our candidates. They're crazy. Would you vote for any of those people? Good Lord, they wouldn't make employee of the month at the local Burger King, let alone president of the United States. So we got to impeach this guy. That's our best chance to win next year. So there you go. It's not very often a Democrat tells the truth. Usually when they do, it is by accident. And such was the case with our latest douchebag of the year nominee, Congressman Al Green. This next clip comes from a CNN town hall with Cory Booker. They were doing a string of town halls with all the candidates, single-issue town halls, blah, blah, blah. The topic is irrelevant. I want you to the person's name is irrelevant. It's just one of my favorite clips. I don't know who she is. She says her name. It's something Miller, if I remember correctly. And it shows just how insane the left is. Now, these are the people who are going to vote in the Democratic primary. These are the people who are going to pick the Democratic Party's nominee for president. And you kind of begin to see why Al Green is like, we got to impeach this guy or else we're going to lose because we're going to have these morons picking our president, picking our presidential nominee. And we're going to get screwed with if we don't have something against Trump. So we got to impeach him. If you could see the video of this from CNN, it's hilarious. Cory Booker is sitting there and he's looking as confused as if you gave your car keys to your dog. The dog doesn't know what the hell to do with your car keys. And Cory Booker doesn't know what the hell is going on with this woman. This is what colleges are doing to people. So here is our next nominee. Whoever this woman is who thought this question and then thought the world needs to hear this question, and she needs to hear an answer to this question.
Hi, good morning, Senator. My name is Joan Miller. I am a doctoral candidate at USC. I study empathy as communication. Wow. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And yesterday, we talked a lot about individual responsibility to change behavior, like veganism, water waste, and plastic straw bans, all of which initiatives disproportionately affect disabled people and poor people. Besides a carbon tax and these individual responsibilities, how can we shift the responsibility to incentivize corporations and high-waste industries to change their behavior around climate change?
What the straw bans disproportionately impact the poor? What? I'm getting a doctorate in empathy as communication or whatever the hell she's. What in the if that's my kid, I'm embarrassed. I'm just like, I don't know what I did wrong as a parent, but I'm going to go down and get a vasectomy right now. I do not want my, I don't want to make another mistake like that. Whatever I did was wrong and like way wrong and like historically and hysterically wrong. I'm my pronouns are this, that, and the other thing. And I'm wasting $140,000 on being called doctor in empathy is communication. And I'm going to make everybody in the world call me doctor once I get that PhD. You better believe it. I'm going to be like Jill Biden. You know, somebody drops dead and they go, is there a doctor in the house? I'm a doctor, but I'm not that kind of a doctor. But you still must call me doctor. These people are nuts. And Cory Booker is sitting there going, what in the hell is, what have we done? What have we created as a party? And then he, of course, tried to answer the question because she's going to vote in the Democratic primary. She's going to pick these people's next president. They're nuts. They're all nuts. Our next nominee for douchebag of the year, and we're just zipping through these because I got a lot of them, and I got to write this post up, and I got to get to bed because I got to do radio in the morning, and it's a holiday anyway, is Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, to his credit, one thing I'll give Bernie is he seems to believe all this crap. He's dumb, and what he believes is wrong and historically stupid, but he believes this crap. He went to Fox News. Again, another thing in his credit, because most of the Democrats run away from Fox News, and he did a town hall. And he was asked about his tax rate. He wants to raise taxes on everybody. He hates millionaires and billionaires. Well, now he just hates billionaires. But he's a very wealthy man. There's nothing stopping anybody from leading by example if they want to raise taxes on everybody else to stop them from paying higher taxes now and saying, hey, look, I'm paying higher taxes. Therefore, I'm leading by example. But that's not how the leftists live. Listen to how Bernie reacts to the proposition that he lead by example, that he pay more in taxes now. He's flabbergasted and then immediately shifts to make it about Donald Trump. Because why? Because then he doesn't have to answer for his own hypocrisy.
To your point, and to Joe's point, your taxes do show that you're a millionaire. You did make $1 million in 2016, 2017. You're right, the 561 in 2018. But your marginal tax rate was 26% because of President Trump's tax cut. So why not say, you know, I'm leading this revolution. I'm not going to take those.
Come on, but dearie, I pay the taxes that I owe. And by the way, why don't you got Donald Trump up here and ask him how much he pays in taxes?
I pay the taxes that I owe. Oh, and why don't you ask Donald Trump about what he pays in taxes? That wasn't the question. Donald Trump isn't advocating for everybody paying more taxes, especially the rich. You're rich. Why don't you lead by example, Bernie? He doesn't want to answer that question because he doesn't want people to keep thinking about the fact that he's rich. He doesn't want that. That doesn't bode well for Bernie. Oh, we got to eat the rich. Really? So you're into self-cannibalism, Bernie? No. I mean the super, super rich. Not the people who just barely squeak by on $1 million a year. raging hypocrite. And I bet you by the time that this race is all done, Bernie will be out with another book. So, because why not? It'll earn him another $1 million. Why not do? You'd be insane not to do it. Of course he'll do it. Our next entrant, I guess this is entrant number 7, I think, contestant number 7, is Julian Castro, running for president of the United States. He is very, very pro-abortion. In fact, he's so pro-abortion that he wants men to be able to have abortions as well.
Would your plan cover abortion, Mr. Secretary?
Yes, it would. I don't believe only in reproductive freedom. I believe in reproductive justice.
And, you know, what that means is that just because a woman, or let's also not forget someone in the trans community, a trans female, is poor, doesn't mean they shouldn't have the right to exercise that right to choose.
I might be the most pro-abortion person up here on stage. If you're pregnant, come right up here right now. I'll abort it right now. You know what? Anybody suicidal, come up here. I'll abort you right on stage. And I'll give you money on top of it. I'll take it out of somebody else's pocket. So we'll just do that. But I want you to have as many abortions as you want because of justice. And I want to pay for it because of justice with the government money. By the way, I want trans women. I support abortions for trans women. And so you don't have to get out your slide rule. Trans women are dudes who say they're women, which, unless there's something going on in the Castro world that we're unaware of, that is an impossibility, right? Isn't that an impossibility? I don't know. It's been a while since I've had a biology class, but I'm pretty sure that is an impossibility. And if it's not an impossibility, that'll make passing a stone seem like a walk in the park. Speaking of a walk in the park, our next contestant would be better off just taking a long walk in the park rather than trying to run for president, because it's just one embarrassment after another. It's hard to pick one Joe Biden gaffe, one Joe Biden, one quote, one clip that really encapsulates what Crazy Uncle Joe is all about. But I did it. This is from one of the last debates where Joe Biden is telling the world that it's never okay to hit a woman unless she steps to you. I mean, if she gets lippy, then you gotta smack a woman. But otherwise, it's not okay to hit women. Never. I mean, unless she's really giving you a lot of lip. And the, you know, like if she wants to watch one movie and you want to watch another movie or whatever, we got to keep punching and punching. This shows how little self-awareness Sniffy Crazy Uncle Joe has.
To make you safer on college campuses and in your schools. You know what they said? Get men involved. Engage the rest of the community. And that's when we started this movement on the college campuses to fundamentally change the culture. No man has a right to raise a hand to a woman in anger other than in self-defense, and that's rarely ever occurs. And so we have to just change the culture, period, and keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it. It will be a big no, I really mean it.
They're laughing at him. They're laughing. You got to keep punching at it, punching at it, punching at it. They're laughing at him, and he's like, no, I really mean it. I totally mean it. I'm being totally serious. For real, man. He doesn't know what the hell is going on. Half the time, he doesn't know what's coming out of his mouth. This is who Joe Biden has become. Maybe it's who Joe Biden always was. He's been in Congress since before I was born, so what are you going to do? And our final entrant, our final contestant on this episode of The Price is Right, well, you know what? Damn it, I got more than that, don't I? I'm just going to have to pick one. No, I'll do two more. There'll be 11 entrants, if my math is correct. Or I guess it's not math, it's counting. This is Mazie Hirono, the incredibly dim bulb senator from Hawaii. I don't know. I've never been to Hawaii. I have no interest in going to Hawaii. There was one group who last year offered to fly me out to Hawaii. They wanted to, there was some, I don't know, seminar or whatever that they wanted me to attend. They were bringing pseudo media types out there. They wanted to convince us about something or other. And I was like, I'm not interested. I'm never going to come around to your way of thinking. And they're like, it doesn't matter. We got money and we're going to fly you out there. All expenses paid, 3 days in Hawaii, and you can stay longer. All you got to do is pay for your hotel after the 3 days or the three nights or whatever the hell it was. And I was like, that's kind of tempting, but it would feel a lot like really unethical behavior. So I passed. Plus, I don't really want to go to Hawaii. I don't want to fly to Hawaii. I'd love to go to Australia one day, but I'm going to have to be filthy rich so I can fly first class, because I'm 6'5" and most of that is legs, and sitting in coach for that long, no thank you. And I also don't want to sell out. I don't even want to lease my soul. So I passed on it. Then they tried to get me to go to Miami this year, and I said no. And I told them, I said, if you do it in Dublin,
If you do it in Dublin, I'll go. So we'll see how badly they want me. They get a whole bunch of other people, people you've probably heard of, but it just seemed horribly unethical to me. Well, I thought maybe is this the best Hawaii has to offer, this Maisie Hirono? And it might be. It might be. I've never been. I don't really ever plan on going. I've been to most of the lower 48. That's enough. I also had a chance to go to Alaska once and do a cruise, a listener cruise. And I was like, I don't want to go to Alaska. I have no interest in going to Alaska. I've seen Northern Michigan is a lot like Alaska. I spent enough time in Northern Michigan. I don't need to go to Alaska for it. But anyway, that's an aside. I don't care for our last two states. We'd be much better off if there were only 48. Get off my lawn. Here's Maisie Hirono admitting, if only accidentally, that climate change is a religion.
For the DACA participants and do the right thing with regard to comprehensive immigration reform. And the third is leaving our comfort zone. And for a lot of us, protesting, marching, that's not something that we normally do. But you know what? These are times that call for us to do those things that we believe in and to march, and not just to march, because that's important to show solidarity, but then to do those things such as voter registration, get people out to vote, so that we can have people here who truly are committed to human rights, environmental rights, climate change, believe in climate change as though it's a religion, it's not a science. And all of the things that remains to be done, and there is a lot.
Believe in climate change. Doesn't she sound like a demented kindergarten teacher? Doesn't she sound like she's speaking to a whole bunch of people that are sitting Indian style on the floor at attention because that's what she ordered them to do? There's something about her voice that seems flighty, crazy cat lady-esque about her. There just is. To me, there just is. So we're going to have, instead of 10 nominees for Douchebag of the Year, there's an 11th nominee. And that is Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley. Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley was asking questions of Mark Zuckerberg, the founder and CEO, I guess I should say co-founder, and CEO of Facebook, about their new cryptocurrency. It's called Libra. They haven't created it yet. They're trying to create it. And so he was summoned up to Capitol Hill to explain himself. How dare you do something without paying off the proper number of Democrats, sir? She asks about something called the Calibra wallet, which is, if you don't know anything about cryptocurrency, good on you. But it is how you, the wallet is how you store your digital currency. It is sort of a secure app or whatever that you download to your computer. Somebody gave me a whole bunch of Bitcoin, but not real Bitcoin, some off-brand Bitcoin that was going to be, if this thing really blows up, you're going to have a lot of money. And that led me to believe, rightly so, that it was going to blow up, but it was going to be more of an implosion than an explosion. And now it's worth next to nothing and nobody would buy it anyway. So somewhere on one of my computers, I've got a thing that is password protected with a whole bunch of worthless Bitcoin, if it's even still in existence. I don't know. But she wanted to know about how this Calibra wallet is going to work and how much does it cost to use? And he keeps on repeating, it doesn't cost anything. We're trying to make it for free. Don't worry. You're wrong in your ridiculous questioning. And she keeps circling back. It doesn't seem to sink in to her thick skull. And then she ultimately asks, well, how does any of this help people with virtually no money? And I would ask her, how does banking in general help anybody with virtually no money? How does buying anything that costs anything help anybody with virtually no money? This is so confusing and stupid that it warranted an 11th entry into Douchebag of the Year.
Yes or no, is it free to use the Calibra wallet?
Congresswoman, the Calibra wallet isn't a service that is available today. Assuming we are able to launch it, it will be free.
So there is no fee?
Congresswoman, that's the goal, is to make it so that...
So there is no fee?
Congresswoman, the goal is to make...
Okay, moving on. So if it costs money to buy Libra and costs money to use the Calibra wallet, I fail to see how this helps people with virtually no money. You are attempting to use technology to solve what is inherently an issue of wealth.
Now, she's from Massachusetts, and you ask yourself, what the hell? Is this the best you can do, Massachusetts? And if you've ever been to Massachusetts, this may well be the best that they could do. Unlike Hawaii, where it's up in the air. I feel like they could do better than Mazie Hirono. I'm not convinced Massachusetts could do better than Ayanna Pressley, unfortunately. Hi, all the people up there, all the mass holes up there in Massachusetts. No, but she's not listening. So does it cost money? Is it going to cost money? No, it doesn't exist, but we don't want it to. So if it costs money to use, we just established that it didn't cost money. How does it help people with virtually no money? It doesn't help them at all. You're not going to find many businesses where they sit down and like, here's our business plan. Here's everything we want. We've assigned ourselves a valuation of $20 trillion because I think we've cornered a market that has really been underserved in all of other businesses, previous businesses ever throughout history. Oh, really? What's that? Well, most businesses go after people with money. We're going after people with no money. I think that's the key to success. I think that's a key to growth. I think that there is an unlimited supply of people with no money who are willing to take stuff for free. So we're going to corner that market, and then I think that the money will just roll in. Oh, well, let me write you a check. There's no business going, you know what? No, virtually no money. That's going to be our customer base. That is our target demo. What's your target demo here? Well, we're aiming for the homeless who have no money, and whatever little money that they do come across, they spend on crack. And we're not going to sell them crack. We're not going to try and even get the limited amount of money that they have. We're going to sell them something that they have really no use for whatsoever. Oh, all right. Sign me up. She's a member of Congress, ladies and gentlemen. She's a member of Congress. All right, so you have your nominees for Douchebag of the Year. And while we tally the votes, when a ceremony held earlier tonight in a different podcast that doesn't exist, there were a couple of honorable mentions that are worth noting. New York Magazine's David Wallace Wells. That's his name. David Wallace Wells. There's something about men who have hyphenated last names that I don't particularly... They're suspect to me. I just don't... I have a difficult time taking them seriously. But he went off the deep end on MSNBC. Had he been somebody you'd ever heard of, I might have considered him as a possible nominee. But since he isn't, he just gets a technical award for... The magazine douchebag of the year. Again, it was the ceremony was hosted by the ghost of Edward Herman. It was a lovely ceremony. Chicken was the meal. David Wallace Wells talking on MSNBC about how climate change is going to lead to more wars, more murders, more rapes, more everything.
But we know that we're entering into an unprecedented climate, and that we don't all of the ways that will transform how we live on this earth. I mean, it's an unenumerable list. It's public health, economic growth, conflict. For every half a degree of warming, we're expected to see between a 10 and 20% increase in conflict. So if we get to where we're going by the end of the century, we could have twice as much war as we have today. And that conflict happens even at the individual level. So we'll see rises in murder rates and rape, domestic assault. It spikes the rates at which people are admitted to mental hospitals. Absolutely every aspect of life on this earth is scheduled to be transformed by climate change. And that's really what my book is about, not just what the science tells us about what's going to happen, but how the way that we will live will be changed by these forces.
We're all going to die by my book. You're all going to end up in mental institutions. And actually, if Democrats win... they'll put a whole bunch of people in camps eventually. If Democrats don't win, a whole bunch of them will end up in mental institutions. So realistically, from a pragmatic and generous interpretation of what he's saying there, it could well be true. You never know. Another technical award at a podcast held earlier tonight was granted to the lawyer of Jussie Smollett. The lawyer, forget about Jussie, that was this year. It seems like 18 years ago, but it wasn't. Jussie Smollett's lawyer went on the Today Show
and was asked, because remember the Osundayo brothers or whatever, I think that was the name, the Osundayo brothers, two very dark-skinned black guys who were paid by Jesse Smollett, or say they were paid by Jesse Smollett, to pretend to beat him up. Yet when Jesse was talking to the police, playing his role, his most convincing role of sitting around with his Subway sandwich, still wearing the noose around his neck a long time later when police were finally showed up. Jesse told police that he was attacked by two white guys. He was attacked by white guys, Trump supporters, the coldest night in Chicago, while he's out at 2 o'clock in the morning getting a Subway sandwich. And two white guys came up, just happened to be carrying bleach, happened to recognize this guy from a show that is not really widely watched, and they happen to be the only two Trump supporters in the city of Chicago. And he also noted that they were white guys. Well, the lawyer tried to deal with that, and that's the problem with having a fraud for a client, is you have to beclown yourself. You have to make yourself look like a complete moron on national television in order to cover up for your client.
According to the court records, Smollett was very clear with police on the night of the attack that his attackers were white. He said they had masks on and gloves, but he saw their eyes and he saw the skin surrounding their eyes. Was that a false statement?
So he, just to be clear, he only saw one of the attackers. One of them he didn't see. He saw one through a ski mask. Again, he could not see their body. Everything was covered and he had a full ski mask on except the area around the eyes. He did tell police that he, from what he saw, he thought it was pale skin or white or pale skin was, I think, what he said. And that was what he, and that's why he initially did have a hard time.
Why did he say that? He could have said, I don't know.
He could have, but this, again, he's
being
truthful.
But if it's the Osundayo brothers, what are the chances that that's the case, that he saw somebody with light skin?
Well, you know, I mean, I think there's, obviously, you can disguise that. You could put makeup on. There is actually, interestingly enough, a video. You know, I think police did minimal investigation in this case. It took me all of 5 minutes to Google. You know, I was looking up the brothers, and one of the first videos that showed up actually was one of the brothers in white face doing a Joker monologue with white makeup on. And so it's not implausible.
No, it's not implausible at all, except that it's insane. This is what lawyers have to do when their clients are hopeless frauds. No. You Google and you find him putting Joker makeup on. So maybe that's what he did. I don't know. It's possible, isn't it? Our next recipient of an honorary douchebag of the year goes to Waleed Shaheed. He is a CNN contributor because, of course, he's a CNN contributor. He was also involved in the Justice Democrats. I think he's a CNN contributor. He might not be. But he was on CNN here. It wouldn't surprise me if he had a show on CNN by the end of next year. But he worked on AOC's campaign. He was the big justice, the socialist Democrats out there. He has a nice theory about how Republicans are sowing division. It's all Republicans are sowing division. Democrats are, you know, the separate, segregate, turn people against each other party. But the Republicans, he says, are turning people against each other from the Southern strategy back in 1972 to the modern day, all for one very specific reason. And that's, of course, naturally, tax cuts for billionaires.
This evolve over the course of a week?
It's so many stories are like this. First of all, it starts off with kind of alt-right, far-right Twitter. Then it gets to the Daily Caller, which boosted up. Then it goes to, outlets like Fox News. And then it's the entire Republican Party is united around a singular message, which is to, you know, defame and destroy the character of Ilhan Omar. And this is, like you were saying, it's part of this long 50-year strategy that began with the Southern strategy in the Republican Party to divide white voters from voters of color. And this is what we're seeing with the right-wing ideological war machine, is that they target Ilhan Omar because they want leaders like her and leaders like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They want to show to their white viewers that those leaders don't have anything in common with white voters, because what would happen? Well, the owners of these outlets, Rupert Murdoch for Fox News and the New York Post, Robert Mercer, for Breitbart, they're billionaires. At the end of the day, it's kind of a divide and conquer strategy to make sure that no one ever comes together. The American people, the voters, don't come together to tax billionaires like them and provide health care for all.
Yes, it's those damn racist Republicans have been conspiring since the 70s to divide people for white voters from voters of color, which who refers to white voters and voters of color constantly? That would be the Democrats. Who created these terms? That would be the Democrats. Why would they do that? To bring people together? No, to manipulate people. But I love how at the end, they've been working on this since the 70s because they want to keep people divided so they can give billionaires tax cuts. What? And of course, this was said on Brian Stelter's show. Brian Stelter is really ultimately the douchebag of the year. But Brian Stelter does not say, wait a second, you're freaking nuts. No, Brian goes, so you're saying this? Ooh, that could absolutely be true. Because the human potato is dumb. And I felt it would be like picking on, you know, somebody, some idiot, you know, the dumbest kid in class, if I included Brian Stelter in this. But honestly, Brian Stelter should be douchebag of the year. And our final entrant, or not a final entrant, not nominee, but our final technical award winner was given the Lifetime Achievement Award for cramming so much bat crap crazy into the 2 weeks. She was the vessel through which Donald Trump was going to be destroyed. I'm speaking, of course, of E. Jean Carroll. Here is a little montage. She accused the president of raping her back in the 90s or something like that. It was as plausible as the conspiracy theory that President Kennedy committed suicide. Here is some of the greatest hits of E. Jean Carroll and her media blitz. And keep in mind, all of these kept happening, and the media still kept having her on, hoping that maybe this will be the interview where she sounds sane, where what she says doesn't sound crazy. Maybe finally something, and it didn't work.
Would you consider bringing a rape charge against Donald Trump for this? Why not?
I would find it disrespectful to the women who are down on the border who are being raped around the clock down there. But for the women down there, and for the women actually around the world.
And it was all fairly playful.
It was charming. It was exciting. Remember what Donald Trump was like in 95, 96. On the counter were these fancy lingerie boxes that they used to have back in the 90s.
Yeah.
You wore lingerie in the 90s, I'll bet, Joy.
But he didn't suggest it. He shouted it. He shouted
lingerie. Lingerie. He may have shouted underwear. Okay.
Were you scared? Were you angry?
I was too panicked to be scared.
Too panicked to be scared, okay.
Totally, and I put my life on the line.
Do you think that you're going... Well, hold on a second. What do you mean you've put your life on the line?
Well, people have told me I have to be careful.
You've gotten death threats.
I am not looking at death threats. I have the idea that I'm going to make him put it on over his pants. That was my idea.
Mm-hmm.
You see how funny that would be to make him put that on?
Yeah. I guess my question is could there be any DNA on there?
I have no idea. I do not know if the president ejaculated. Have no idea. Lawrence, I wish I had said, I'll tell you my age if you show me your tax returns.
Yeah, it would have been helpful.
So I'm holding my handbag like that. The only reason I know I'm holding my handbag is because I discovered it in my hand when I got to the street.
The statement that he said, which he's just made, which is, she's not my type, number one, that was the number one thing.
I love that I'm not his type. I'm an archer. I have bows and arrows, you know. Fine. I think there's just two, never mind.
I think most people think of rape it is a violent assault. It is not.
I think most people think of rape as being sexy. Mm.
Let's take a short break.
Think of the fantasies.
Mm. We're just going to take a quick break. If you can stick around, we'll talk more on the other side.
You're fascinating to talk to.
Yes, the Lifetime Achievement Award goes to E. Jean Carroll because she just crammed a lifetime's worth of douchebaggery and insanity into 2 weeks when they were desperately trying to sell her book, and it didn't work. It didn't take. So who? Who is the douchebag of the year? You got Chuck Todd, AOC, Nancy Pelosi, James Comey, Al Green, that crazy chick who asked a question at CNN Town Hall, Bernie Sanders, Joaquin Castro, Joe Biden, Maisie Hirono, or Ayanna Pressley? The envelope, please. You know, it's just an honor to be nominated, to be perfectly honest with you. The douchebag of the year, ladies and gentlemen, for the year 2019. And it's an accomplishment. And it is not really a surprise if you take a look at the entirety of this nominee, this winner's work is, well, let's let them announce, well, let's let the, you, I'll use a clip of them talking about just how difficult it is to recycle, to announce the winner. Here's your winner of Douchebag of the Year.
I can be upset that I get 10 plastic bags at the grocery store and then have to toss out my plastic bags because the recycling program in the area is tough, and that's okay. All of these are not reasons to stop fighting. All of these are reasons to keep fighting. Mm-hmm. And these are all reasons and pieces of evidence to say, hey, we need to make it easier to recycle.
There you go. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is your douchebag of the year, ladies and gentlemen. You know, she kind of went silent at the, she slowed down at the end of the year, but she had built up such an insurmountable lead earlier on that there was no way anybody in the field was going to catch her, not even crazy sniffy Uncle Joe Biden. So, Quinn, what do you think of the douchebag of the year winner?
I guess you seem like a blanket.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true. What she just said there makes more sense than 95% of the things said by all of our nominees. Want to say goodnight to everybody?
Good night, buddies.
Say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you for listening, telling a friend, all that good stuff. We'll be back with the best of tomorrow and a new show starting bright and early on January 2nd, 2020. Don't forget, you can email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. The website, if you want to chip in and help Quinn be able to eat, is patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. Say thank you to everybody, Quinn.
Hey. Go, hey, go, thank you, go, friends.
Thank you, we got friends. We're all friends here. I'll see you tomorrow. Happy New Year. The Daily Caller podcast is produced by Derek Hunter. Director, Derek Hunter. It's executive produced by Derek Hunter. Senior producer is Derek Hunter. Supervising producer is Derek Hunter. Technical producer is Derek Hunter. It was edited by Derek Hunter. The audio mixing was done by Derek Hunter. Hair and makeup provided by Derek Hunter's Pillow and Soap. Production assistance provided by The Cats. This joke was submitted by listener Christopher Flatten. And this joke is funny because it's true.